What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Two Dudes of Sports News. As always, my name is Garrett. I'm here with my co-host.
What to do? What to do? This is Jalen Prince.
We're a little late. This episode may come out next week, may come out this weekend. I don't know. I'm going out of town this weekend, so we'll see what happens. If I get time to edit it, I will.
Be safe.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll be all right, man. Heading out of Florida, playing golf for the first time in my entire life. That'll be fun.
I'm a mini golf guy.
Short short game's crazy. I'm with you on that. It's kind
I'm a mini golf guy. I don't have to do
So
too much swinging at my hips on that one.
there
Like,
you go.
give me mini golf.
There you go. Well, let's get right into it, man. We gotta talk Final Four and we gotta talk UConn and Purdue. We were right on one front. So I was right about half of the Final Four predictions. You were right about the other half. I
Yep.
said that it was gonna be UConn NC State. You said Purdue and Bama. We were
I did.
50-50. We're not right. We're 50-50. We're not perfect beans, but I also said I had UConn winning it. UConn is the first back-to-back men's college basketball champion since who? That would be my 2005, 2006 Florida
Florida
Gators.
Gators, Al Horford, Joakim Noah.
Corey Brewer, Taurean Green, Lee Humphrey. That was a squad. And we'll talk Billy Donovan rumors in a little bit towards the end of the show to wrap it up. So here's my question. Like, I thought this was an incredible game. This is a great game. I still don't think Edie goes in the top 10.
Nope.
There's a reason he's a senior. It to me, he and I admit.
There's a reason why he's been in the league for so long.
He's a free throw merchant from everything I've seen. Because look at this. I'm not even kidding. If you look at the free throws from Purdue versus UConn. UConn took 11 free throws as a team. Zach Edey took 10. One man took 10 free throws. The rest of his team took five. I
And
need.
it's not like Shaq-like fouls. It's like when Shaq was in the league, it was harder for it, everybody knew it was hard. How do you like officiate a game when Shaq is playing back when he was in his prime? Because it's
Yep.
so darn big. What is a foul? What isn't? What should be let go? What should be called? Shaq was understood. Edie was not understood, and like a lot of people were just baffled and just hated how he was able to get them calls, and like a lot of people felt like bro didn't deserve him.
No, it's he and he did play well and he's got some skill. I'm not saying he's a bum at all, but he heavily benefits from free throws and he's developed the part of his game, and I respect that. But dude is a He's a free throw merchant. I have the free throw average leaders for this men's basketball tournament. Number one, Zach Edey with 11.2 on average per this is per game. The other people were Tulsa, Illinois, which some of these guys may not, or these were conference games. So yeah, look, dude averaged 11 free throws a game. That's
Okay.
absurd. That's absurd. And he's getting to the stripe. He's making them. And I can respect that. But you also got to, like, free throws can't be your whole game. They simply can't.
They can't.
No. So, I mean, for me, like, I'm happy UConn did it. Go
What's
ahead.
the question?
Where do y'all think Zach Edey goes in the draft? Do you think he goes top 15? Do you think he falls out of the first? What do you think?
Long shot, maybe late first round.
He'll go late first. He'll go to
So
some team where he doesn't have to do anything.
maybe day two. I see Zach Edey. The scouts are not going to fall for the popularity because there's a difference between just having that level of height and having that level of height and being a big name in college, and then being a big polarizing name with social media to the point where you're going to be able to draw a bunch of numbers. As Zach Edey doesn't draw, he's not box office, he's not going to draw a whole bunch of numbers. If
No,
he did do that, then I'd say he'd be a mid to high first round pick, because like you go back to examples of Lonzo Ball, because he was going to be able to draw that big. But Zach Edey doesn't do any of that. He's not a big drawing attraction.
No, he's not.
He's a big name in college basketball. That's really not saying much once you get to the NBA level, because a lot of people, especially within the NBA, scouts know it, GMs know it. He's very limited, because imagine him going against Nikola Jokic. Imagine Joel Embiid going against Zach Edey. Imagine what just about anybody you can name. Imagine him going
Bam
against Victor Wembanyama, Bam Adebayo. Like
your
you just
guy,
see there's lack of potential with Zach Edey as far as him being a really good NBA player. Could he be a nice role player? Depends on where he goes, depends on who selects him, and depends on how he develops. But that's yet to be determined. Not a lot of beliefs in it. So I see the late first round, early day two.
he reminds me of a more technically sound Taco Fall. You see what I mean with that? Big body, over 7 feet, except Zach Edey's got a little bit of touch. I can respect it. But yeah, I'm with you. I think he falls out of the top 15. He's in the second half of the first round for sure. Well, let's get some football a little bit. That was it on Final Four Takes. Before we get into
We ain't
the
gonna talk to
block,
men.
but
We ain't gonna get the women.
oh, women's. I'm so sorry. You
Can't
called it.
disrespect the ladies like that.
Easy, easy, easy. I messed up our notes here. That's my bad. We'll make it. Let's give them the credit. I watched that entire game. Phenomenal game. And I'm gonna be honest, I cannot tell you the last time I watched a bunch of women's college basketball games. It was, and we've been saying it all tournament. It's more exciting. It's been more exciting than the men's. There's bigger stars, there's bigger
There's more
names.
stars, definitely, yeah.
It's been more exciting to watch, and the viewership records have proven it. You called it. You said no one was beating South Carolina. You were right. And their coach did one of the classiest things I've seen, shouting out Caitlin Clark at their sort of, at their trophy ceremony, basically saying, like, hey, like, not to take away from everything we've done here, but thank you, Caitlin, for growing this sport, and you're going to crush it at the NBA. And I think she called it the number one overall pick. WNBA, sorry.
Dawn Staley is class personified, and that doesn't do her justice.
No, I got nothing but respect
Remark
for her.
her being remarkable doesn't do her justice. The level of a competitor, a professional, immaculate, doesn't do her justice. She is literally up there in the same class as a Gino Auriemma, as a Pat Summitt, as a Mike Krzyzewski. There's a reason why they're doing commercials together. It's not because she has the name, because she does have the name and the brand. It's not because she's known by celebrities, which she is. It's also because how she's winning games and how she's doing it. She handles it like a professional, but she still is polarizing at the same time. She's not, understand this. When I'm saying like professional, you conduct yourself in a professional way where you're going to succeed like any other person in this world, which she has done. She is boisterous, boisterous. She will speak, and she will be listened to, but she will speak on issues that could be uncomfortable, but she knows how to do it, handle it like a boss. That's the thing I love about Dawn Staley. Not just the way she dresses and carries herself, it's how she carries herself. She knows how to dress. She'll dress any way, she don't care. She knows how to coach. She knows the game. And like, it's to the point where she's on the same plateau. She's on the same type of trailblazing as a Gino Auriemma, as a Gino Auriemma at UConn, for this fact alone. You look at the athletes, you look at the players that she got in the league now and what's coming in the future. UConn got their bunch. South Carolina's on the verge of getting their like have been gotten getting a lot of their load, but they're going to keep on growing. And a lot of that has to do with Dawn Staley and just what she has done for the University of South Carolina. South Carolina's known for its women's basketball and baseball. As much
Yep.
as football runs king in the South, and they love football down there in Columbia.
Right.
Don Staley has made like has not only helped contribute to the elevation of women's basketball, she has helped elevate just the entire sport of basketball in general, especially in collegiate sports. And that's what I got to commend for. Go ahead and ask your question.
So to me, like, I think she not only does she demand respect, she commands it. Her as a person, her as everything, she absolutely creates that, you know. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. I nothing but the utmost respect for her. Absolutely. So is South Carolina the next big women's basketball dynasty? Is this the start of it? Is this where they have their UConn run where all those stars come out year after year after year?
You could to answer that question, I'm gonna say no. Here's the reason why. We're talking dynasty as far as they're gonna be winning the next few championships. I'm gonna say no on that. They're gonna be dominant. They're gonna go back to the Final Four next year. I do believe that. But as far as having that dynasty run where they completely dominate the sport, where nobody else is going to be able to compete on that level, nobody else is going to be able to challenge them, nobody else is going to be able to stop them, I don't see that because I think the sport in women's basketball has grown so much. You look at what UConn's going to be doing with Paige Buchner, who's going to be back, and you know Geno's going to be able to recruit and develop his players. So like that, you got UConn that's going to be there. South Carolina, of course. You're trying to see what LSU is going to do next season. You don't know who else is going to step up to be stars. Juju is still at USC, and they're still going to grow. They're still going to get better. So you're interested to see that. Texas, they got a squad that's underrated with that Booker girl who can play. Iowa State, they got a squad. There's a lot of talent in the sport of women's basketball that can possibly challenge South Carolina come next tournament. Now, in the SEC, it's South Carolina and it ain't nobody else without since LSU is just not as loaded as it once was.
It's
But come
1A,
the tournament,
nothing, LSU.
come the tournament, South Carolina's gonna be in the Final Four, but I'm not gonna say it's a dynasty within that sport anymore because talent-wise, it's so broad, it's so spread out, and I think that's why I like it so much right now.
That's a fair point. To me, I definitely think it's between them and UConn, because you're right. Geno's got that team rolling right now, and you also got to remember Haley Van Lith is in the transfer portal. So does she pull her Kevin Durant? Does she go to South Carolina? Does she, like, we don't know. We'll see. I feel like it depends on this transfer portal, because that's something we really have to take into effect now, is this whole transfer portal thing, especially with college sports. But so here's my question. Because as we're recording this, we're getting alerts right now. Do you want to jump into Calipari in Kentucky, or you want to save that for the end? Because there's stuff coming out right now that says that it might be happening sooner than we think.
We're gonna save that towards the end,
Let's do it.
but
Okay.
we gotta do our 2 minute take.
Yeah, 2 minute take, man. Let's go.
All
What you
right,
got?
so all right, 2 minute take time. So here's what we're gonna do. As like we did last episode, we get 2 minutes to give our take, 2 minutes to give a topic, we go real quick with it. So here's my 2 minute take. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cordoza, and I think her name is Cameron Brink. Yeah, Cameron Brink, from Stanford. I believe those girls are, they're not going to dominate the WNBA off the rip, but they are going to change the whole WNBA game where they're going to polarize it, and there will be the reason why WNBA finally is able to get that big push, that big star push that they have been desperately needing in a long time.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. They have the star power now. Because it's not to say you didn't have it before, but you've got it in spades right now. You have your Bird, Magic, and Jordan. You have your, Olajuwon. You have these star centerpieces that are going to be in the league for years to come, and everybody knows their name. Whether they watch women's college basketball or not, they know who Caitlin Clark is. They know who Angel Reese is. They know who these people are now. So I think you're 100% right.
And I think about like off the rip, I think it's the Indiana Fever got the number one overall pick in
Yep.
women's basketball. Speculation is going to be Caitlin Clark. Already ESPN already booked 36 national TV games for the Indiana Fever for Caitlin Clark. It's already beginning, and you're only excited to see how it's going to grow, and you hope that it continues to grow.
100%. Well, that's it for our 2 minute takes. We kept it. We're trying out this new feature. If you guys like it, let us know. Let's get football real quick before we get to bat or get back to more basketball. It's gonna be a basketball heavy episode. Before we get into digs, we have to talk about my Jags. Shout out the Duval Till We Die shop. Love you guys. The Play Bro Him shirt. That's a very local reference. If you got questions about it, let me know. We have signed the superior Josh Allen to a 5-year, $150 million deal, over 80. I think it's 88 million guaranteed. He's back for the next 5 years to terrorize his son up in Buffalo. And I could not be happier, man. I have been saying it for weeks. They will be done before OTAs. And it did. They were working on offset language. They were working on guaranteed money and everything like that. I'm not surprised. It was gonna happen. Trevor wanted him back. The team wanted him back. Josh wanted to be in Jacksonville his whole career. He wants to stay in Jacksonville. And that press conference, I don't know if you saw, man, I'm fired up. He said, "My job's not done until we win the Super Bowl and I get an MVP." He's like, "Until then, I'm going 100%." I was like, "Dude, I love this kid. He's a choir boy and he's a dog. I love it. It's rare that you find players like that. I absolutely love it. He's a good guy on and off the field, but when he's on the field too, he's just nasty and he gets it done. He was in sec. He was tied for second in sacks last year. Coming out party. I'm excited." And then what I think to go across to the other side of the division, Stefon Diggs, what are your thoughts on this before I break down the numbers on this?
It was warranted. First things first, I gotta give my idol Stephen A. Smith his credit. He did call this. He reported this a while ago. There was speculation that Diggs wanted out.
Oh, we knew this.
And I think it's the right move. I think it was the right move for Diggs. It might be the right move for Buffalo because from what I've seen from Bill's Twitter and TikTok, they're kind of relieved. They feel a little bit bad, but they're kind of relieved about it because they've had their fair share of issues with Diggs and his antics. But as far as on Diggs' way, he's in a really good situation right now. If you're the Houston Texans, if you're a Houston Texans fan, you're absolutely one of the happiest, most excited groups going into next season. You just come off winning the division title. You just came off winning your first playoff game in a long time, and it was CJ Stroud's first playoff game, and he dominated in that which he did. You're getting Tank Dell back at receiver, Speed Demon. You get a wide receiver one in Stephon Diggs. Heck, you get a 1B and Nico Collins, who's coming off a big year, who got good chemistry with a CJ Stroud. Your offensive line is going to improve. You just got Joe Mixon during free agency. Your running game's going to improve. And not to mention, Joe Mixon is going to take a whole lot of pressure off of CJ Stroud. You're going in year two with D'Amico. D'Amico just got like Danielle Hunter on the opposite side of Will Anderson, who's going into a second year. That defense is going to improve. So when you look at the Houston Texans, there's a lot to be excited about. I'm not going to say it's going to put them as championship contenders. I think it could give an edge. What makes Houston a championship contender is going to be the level of play by CJ Stroud and how good the defense is going to be for the Houston Texans. So what this means, it means it puts them closer to being a championship contender off the rip. But I won't be surprised if they make a run to the Super Bowl next season. But I'm really excited about it.
Here's the thing I will say, and this is not me. This is a little bit me coming from a Jags fan, but in general, on paper, they are a phenomenal team. Jalen, I have a question for you. Yes or no, is this game played on paper?
No.
Exactly. Historically, after you hit 30 years old as a athlete in the NFL, your production drops off significantly. That's a stat. There's numbers behind it, years of data. I'm not wrong on this. I think Diggs is on the decline. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he's not the player he used to be. If this all these rumors coming out about him being a cancer in the locker room happen, I would be concerned for CJ Stroud's progression if I were a Texans fan. Because Diggs doesn't care about we, he cares about me. Now that's where I'm a little con I love it as a Jags fan, but I'm concerned if I'm a Texans fan, because is this guy going to really help CJ take this next step? Or is him yelling in his ear in the locker room after week one that he's not getting enough targets going to start to affect this team? You also have to remember the pieces Houston lost. So I think it's too early to crown him, champion. And also, how many times has the offseason champion actually won the championship? Think the last time it happened was when Brady went to the Bucks, and that was it. And the time before that, I really can't think of a time. It's the only time I can actually think about it, because
So,
last year it was the
well,
Jets. Jets did not. Jets are picking at the top 10. Year before that, it was the Broncos. Broncos are picking at the top 10 again this year, actually. First year head coach got fired. Year before that, oh shoot, who was it? It wasn't the Buccaneers. But my point is, offseason championship does not mean NFL champion. It means on paper, you became an incredible team.
however, you can, based off a lot of things on potential, based off what you're looking at. We know CJ Stroud is a dog. We understand that
Yes.
he exceeded a lot of people's expectations going in next season. By the way, this is not a shot at Bryce. This is not a shot at Bryce Young. This is
No.
going to be a shot at like Carolina Panthers. You see what happens when you actually protect your quarterback and when you give him proper weapons?
They do
You
see,
get
because
good outcomes.
they spent hundreds of millions in the offensive line this year in the offseason. But
So let's see it pan out. But and back to Houston. Dog, the reason why you got to be excited is because of the division that they're playing. Outside of the Jaguars, Titans gonna compete, but
Colts are sneaky.
they're not scary. Like
AFC
sneaky,
South,
yes.
yeah.
They're like the Titans, they're not gonna like drive home about.
No, I ain't scared about
Colts,
the Titans.
They're gonna be competitive, but you don't have a whole lot of expectations with them. They're gonna compete, but that division right there is gonna be top notch. But
The AFC South got.
there's really outside. It depends on how your boy Trevor Lawrence competes and how well Anthony Richardson does. But outside of right now, if CJ Stroud picks up where he left off and takes it to another level with the weapons he got, I get what you're talking about as far as the whole quote unquote locker room or like locker room cancer. I don't believe Diggs is that. Does he want to share catches? Yes, almost everybody in the league does. However, I think with him being a new scenery, him being with a coach that a lot of people believe in, mind you, I've been very spec I've been very critical of Sean McDermott. I've been very critical of him. I don't think he ever believed in just the win. Like he's going to a place where the window is starting to open in Houston.
Whereas in Buffalo, it's closing.
Yes.
I and
So I that's what I'm saying. I think he's gonna be fine. CJ Stroud's only gonna get better because he got a ton of weapons to work with. Not to mention the tight ends with Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan.
I see. I'm cautious, and don't get me wrong. This is not a knock at Stroud. This is
You
me
being
just
a Giants
wait.
fan.
No, it's not even that. You and I talked about it. Everybody who was clowning Stroud as being a pick because or a bad pick because of that poor test or whatever.
Nah,
Tape I
everybody's
saw
calling
it.
Bryce Young.
Yeah. Now everybody's clowning Bryce Young because he has no offensive line. But that tape doesn't lie. Stroud's a dog. I'm the only QB I'm not scared of in this division is Will Levis. It's the only one. Anthony Richardson, I have been saying it, if he gets it together, has the highest ceiling of any quarterback in that draft class. Because if you add the accuracy, you have the arm strength and the raw athletic talent to be a force in this league for years. Stroud doesn't have the athleticism, and he's got the arm talent to make every single throw on the field. He also has the game film to prove that he can make every single throw on the field and stay calm under pressure. What I'm concerned about, now the league has an entire year of film on you. And what do you think they've been doing since, shoot, February of this year? And what are they going to be doing until they play you every single game?
I
They have
get
been,
that.
I think, I don't think he takes a step back. I think he has a meh year.
I'm not gonna go that far. I think
I don't want to say
with
meh.
his,
I think he has a
yeah.
similar, I think he has a similar level of year production that he had last year, which is good.
Mind you, he's getting Tank Dell back, who was out with a season-ending injury last year, and he was still able to go deep within the playoffs with Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, John Metchie. And I forgot who else was the other guy, but either way, he has some guys to be able to step up. He's going into year two with that offensive line. I don't see a sophomore slump given the weapons that he has. Now, some things could not work, can't work out. We have to wait and see. But as of right now, yes, we have to base it on paper because we still got to wait and see. That's why I'm saying I'm not quick to say they're contenders. I'm not gonna do that. CJ Stroud got to prove to me he could take that next step and like that next step. And join the Pantheons, join being an actual top five quarterback in football, and get yourself in a position to challenge Patrick Mahomes to win the AFC and then take your team to the Super Bowl. We still got to see that.
I'm not ready. I'm
So
not
there's still
crowning him
time. But
yet.
right now, I'm not going to crown them anything,
No, I ain't
but
crowning him
I'm
either.
definitely got the crown hovering over them as far as the division, as far as division winners. In football, in the NFL, you win your division first, everything will take care of itself after that.
It's between us and Houston for sure. And I'll give them credit too. Houston gave a 2025 second round pick, which was the Vikings pick, not theirs, for Diggs. So a second round pick next year. And I believe it was a 2024 sixth and a 2025 or 2025 fifth. So gave next to nothing. Here's my question. Did the Texans just ruin the wide receiver market for free agents, guys like T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk? Because they
No.
got they I here's why I think this. Because they got arguably a last year at least a top 10, top 15 receiver for a second round pick next year. Guys like T. Higgins won out, guys like Ayuk won out. Do you think this ruins their market a little bit and helps those teams who are trying to make a push for them, or no? Because I think it does. I think now
Not it
Balky can call
don't
up. Go ahead.
dude, I'm gonna say this now. It ain't gonna hurt the players. The players still
No.
gonna be wanting their money, bottom line. So
I meant the trade value. So they can go
Now,
to the, I think it'll hurt them because now they can go back and go, well, hey, if Diggs only got a 2025 second round pick next year, we'll give you our 2020 sec or our pick this year for the second round, and we get our guy. That's what I think is happening. Let's talk NBA because we got to keep it moving. NBA, who do you think is it's, for me, it's my Celtics. It's my Celtics all day. I know right now they're probably not beating the Knicks, but we're in. We have like a 30-game lead on the Bucks. It's not actually 30, but it's close. It's pretty close. What do you think, man?
what do I think? What?
What are your playoff predictions? What do you know, who what teams do you think are going to shine? Who's some sleeper teams? What are you thinking?
Best team in either Brett in the Western Conference and in the Eastern Conference. Best team is the Celtics on the East, the Nuggets for the West. Sleeper team in the West, I got the Dallas Mavericks. I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm going to Dallas Mavericks in the
I agreed with
West.
you on that the last time we talked about this a little bit, yeah.
I'm starting to shift over. It's not like I don't believe in the Clippers, even though that's gonna be a potential first round. If everything goes the way it is now, it's gonna be the Clippers and Mavericks in the first round. I saw the Mavericks go into Miami, and play the way they play. I can see the potential on them. And that was with Luka on the bench with Kyrie playing. So I could definitely see the Mavericks being a dark, like a sleeper team. So I'm gonna say the Mavericks on the east side.
Do you
Still,
believe in
still,
magic?
I no, I don't. I believe in that other team in Florida. I still believe in the Heat. I still believe in the Heat because we know what Jimmy Butler's go we know what Jimmy Butler's gonna do come playoff time.
I don't
I
think they make
know
a
you
push.
don't. We're talking about me.
I know, I know, I
That's
know,
who
I
I
know.
believe. The team now, the team that I least that I trust the absolute least on either side going
Oh,
into
that's a fun one.
playoffs. I don't trust. It's easy to say the Clippers. I'm not gonna say them. I don't trust the Timberwolves.
Oh, God, no.
Anthony Edwards is spectacular. He's gonna get his. He's gonna make a name. Rudy Gobert? No. Cat? No. Everybody
Nope.
else? Nuh-uh.
No.
So I don't trust the Timberwolves outside of Anthony Edwards, outside of Ant-Man. In the West, in the East. I'm sorry, dog. I don't trust your Celtics.
All right.
I'm sorry. I don't trust them.
Okay. You
And this
also
is
said
actually surprising. I was about to say Milwaukee for a minute, but then I had to come back. Then I had to come back to reality. Y'all have times. The Celtics have moments where they take the foot off the gas. And that's where the trust issues draw. The difference between the Celtics and the Nuggets. The Nuggets won't take their foot off the gas. And if anybody does take the foot off the gas, they got a big like suburban good dude to keep the weight on the gas. I'm not sure if Jason Tatum, because sometimes he's the reason why they take the foot off the gas. I'm not sure if he's gonna be able to. I'm not sure if this year's different for them where they will not take the foot off the gas.
All right. So for me, my Celtics, I said at the beginning of the year, and I'll say it again, we're the best team in the East. We have the highest point differential, I think, in basketball right now with 11 points. We average 120 points per game. We give up 109. We're going to be all right. I think the Nuggets, and we talked about this a while back too, when it was Minnesota, OKC, and Denver, when Minnesota was leading the Western Conference, you and I both said there's no way they stay there, and Denver's going to make their push. And guess what Denver did? They made their push. Denver and Boston are the best teams in basketball right now in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Sleeper teams for me. I believe in the Magic, man. I something tells me about them, about the Magic. Something's I got a feeling they're gonna surprise somebody. They're gonna make it through the first round at least. I don't see them making a deep run, but I think the Magic can do something. And I'm with you on Dallas. I think Dallas does it. They're not winning at all, but Dallas is the sleeper team for me in the Western Conference. I think it's Boston and Denver in the finals. Simple as that. I think it's Boston and Denver in the finals. Now, teams I have zero faith in. In the East, I have no faith in the Bucks. Because you won't say it, so I will. I have no faith in the Bucks. I don't have any faith in this team. And I love Dame. Dame is like, to me, Dame is that player. Like, I wasn't a Portland fan, I was a Dame fan. I love Dame. I love his game. I love everything he brings to the table. Dame is one of my favorite players in basketball. I got to see him play when he was in Atlanta, I think a couple of years back. It was great. I love it. But I have no faith in the rest of that team. There's something about it, man. You want to talk about taking a foot off the gas. There's a reason with all that talent on that team, they're 13 games back. And when it comes to the West, to me, it's a coin flip between Minnesota and the Suns. I don't trust 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 Minnesota. I don't know which team I don't trust more, but I don't trust either one of those teams. But that's a great, let us know what teams, you're on mute.
Let me ask you real quick because I know
Okay.
we got to move on to Calipari and Kentucky,
Yep.
Arkansas, Kentucky. Who's a team right now that's in the playoffs that you want to believe that ain't the Celtics?
That I want to believe in?
On either side, who is a team that you want to believe in?
I want to believe in the Knicks. I love Jalen Brunson. I want to believe in the Knicks, but I don't.
I can't do it. I refuse.
I like it, it's solely for Jalen Brunson. I like Jalen Brunson. For the West, Gotta keep it with our Georgia boys, man. I want to believe in the Kings. I do, for Davion. I want to believe in the Kings. I do.
I was gonna say the Kings too.
But
I'm gonna stay with the Kings.
I don't like I can't.
I'm not gonna say my Hawks because I already kind of know where we at. I'm gonna be honest with you, and I never thought I'd say this. I want to believe in the Sixers. I really want to believe in the Sixers. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and the crew. I want to believe in the Philadelphia 76ers, and we'll leave it at that.
I also want to believe in the Pacers. I like Tyrese. I like Tyrese. So, but hey, let us know what team you guys want to believe in. Let us know your sleeper teams. Let us know who your biggest disappointment teams are going to be. Who do you think is going to win it all? Who do you think is going to go to the NBA Finals and win it? Let us know. Let's keep it basketball, man. We got to talk about some of the biggest news in college basketball right now. John Calipari, I said it a couple weeks back. I think of the last episode. Calipari needed to leave Kentucky. He didn't need to be fired. He needed to be given like a Bobby Bowden-esque option where it's like, hey, we appreciate everything you've done. It's time to move on. And he decided to go to Arkansas. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Because he went to Arkansas for, I believe, you pull up the numbers on this contract real quick. There we are. He is going to make a 5-year contract with $38 million, average of $7 million a year. So he's making less money, but he's going to Arkansas. So he's staying in the SEC. What are your thoughts on this? Because I got my own.
Shocked, because John Calipari being at Kentucky was basically our childhood. We grew up watching John Wall when he was at Kentucky when his freshman year with Boogie Cousins. I remember John Wall, our dog. I remember the dude, the John Wall man. I remember doing this, but
Do
dog. I
the
remember
John
all.
Wall.
Yeah, I remember, and. Growing up watching that, I had the privilege of meeting him at the Peach Jam in Augusta. It just like when you see John Wall, you know it's Kentucky. You know he's gonna get a first, you know he's gonna get a 5-star. You know he's getting a McDonald's All-American. You know he's gonna send somebody to the NBA. And to see that he's not gonna be in Kentucky anymore, he's going to Arkansas. It's a wild time, man. It really is. It's about the same as Nick Saban retiring and us having Kalen DeBoer. John Calipari was always Kentucky to a lot of us. And that was a lot of our childhood. Whether it was John Wall, Boogie Cousins, and look at all the people that he got into league.
Pat Cauley-Stein.
Patrick Peterson, Eric Bledsoe, the year after that, he had Brandon Knight,
Michael
DeAndre
Kidd-Gilchrist
Liggins,
somehow.
Terrence Jones, Josh Harrison, Marcus Teague, Anthony Davis, Deron Lamb, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Yeah,
It's a
like you
long
mentioned,
list.
it's a long list, and I think I still remember the names of a lot of them. Heck, he had Nerlens
I
Noel
remember Nerlens.
and Archie Goodwin. He had Kyle Wiltshire before he went. He had Kyle Wiltshire. Before he moved to Gonzaga and became a star, if a lot of people remember that. So to see that he's not going to be in Kentucky anymore, and right now the news, right now Twitter and news is buzzing on a new hire about this time. About this time, if you're listening, it's just shocking. I still can't believe it that it's Arkansas of all places, but you kind of understand it. 'Cause the money's good down there. Like I hate the baby back ribs. I hate the those baby back ribs over there. Not the actual baby back ribs. That's just what I call them. I even call,
Sweet.
yeah. That's basically what I call. That's basically what I call them. But yeah, I'm just shocked.
Right. So for me, like I'm not shocked. I kind of knew this was coming. I had a feeling this was coming, and I've got thoughts on coaching stuff later. And we'll get into it at the end. It actually might lead off into our question or our final question of the show. I'm not shocked, and I'll give him credit. He was tasked with an impossible task almost every year, and that's rebuilding a championship caliber team with a bunch of one and dones, because he knew half this team wasn't coming back. Like, I respect what he was able to do, and I'll give him credit, and I'll give him his flowers. Arkansas is a little confusing, but I guess he wanted to stick it to the SEC and play Kentucky a couple times a year and, make him remember what he used to be. And I can respect that. I think something's going on in Kentucky.
There really is.
I think something's about to happen. Like I and it I like so this is going to lead right into our next thing. Who do you think Kentucky's going to hire? Because right now there's rumors that they're closing in on the BYU head coach Mark Pope. They've been linked to Billy Donovan, have him come out of Chicago. They're talking about trying to take Nate Oates from Alabama.
They ain't gonna touch him. He
No,
already
that's not
said he's
happening.
coming back. Damn.
They've talked about Rick Pitino from St. John's potentially, Tommy Lloyd from Arizona.
That'd be interesting if he ever came back. That would
Pitino,
be
he's
very,
not.
very interesting if he came back.
I don't know if he's allowed in Kentucky state lines.
At this point, it don't even matter.
They talk about Tommy Lloyd from Arizona, Otzelberger from Iowa State, and Brad Underwood from Illinois. Those are just some of the rumors that are coming around. To
Well,
me,
we
I
know. Well, we
go
know
ahead.
Scott Drew turned it down. Nato's turned it down. They got zero. Like, I'm gonna quote somebody, but to me, they have always had zero chances of getting Dan Hurley out of UConn. You're not pulling that dude away
No.
from UConn, no.
That's like taking Mark Few from Gonzaga. It's not happening. To me, I think there's something, there's going to be NCAA in my. I'll give Cilu credit because he's the one who made the comment first, and I think he's 100% right. Something's about to happen to Kentucky. I got a weird feeling that something's about to happen to Kentucky.
You mean like a downfall?
No, I mean like an NCAA violation.
I mean,
I mean like an NCAA violation. I think they hired this kid. I think.
it's not beyond comprehension of why, like, a lot of things might be going south with Kentucky, pun intended. It's just you can't really figure it out. But well, we knew that John Calipari and Mark Stoops, the head football coach for the Wildcats, they've had their fair share of issues in the past. We know Kentucky baseball is actually doing pretty good. They're one of the best teams in the conference this year. But dog, I kind of don't even know what the heck is going on in Lexington. Not a lot of people want the job right now. It's not the same. And a lot of people said like Kentucky's gonna be fine without John Calipari. I think they are, but not right away.
No.
And they get this hire from the dude from BYU. I'm like, that's not even the best available hire right now.
No, and that's what I'm.
If I was them, like, I don't know. I don't know who they get.
I think it's.
I was hoping, like, for giggles for me, I was hoping they was gonna get Bruce Pearl out of Auburn just so I can laugh.
That'd be funny.
That's just me. That was
That'd be
just me.
funny. I think it ends up being the BYU thing. The reason why I think something's about to happen is because every school Calipari's been to as a head coach has had some form of NCAA violation.
Memphis.
Memphis with Derrick Rose, UMass with Marcus Camby.
Well, first
Now,
off,
Marcus Camby was a stupid one. That was just him taking money from an agent, and he never got indicted, and Calipari never got indicted.
oh, that's legal now.
Yeah, it's legal now, but I'm thinking something else is about to come down. Because he
Yeah.
dipped unceremoniously. He was out. And then you've got all these top talents who would look at Kentucky, that's been a blue chip program for well over a decade now, and they're like, and some of them I get, like you're not taking the UConn guy, but they just go, nah, I'm good.
They should have beat Vanderbilt. Like they should have like either got rid of John Calipari earlier if they knew this was gonna happen. If they would have like waited a little bit earlier, they could have got Mark Byington from JMU, and now he's at Vandy. So it's an exciting weird time in college sports right now.
Absolutely.
Think about this: the SEC is about to change completely going next year. No more CBS football. See, no more SEC on CBS. Now it's Big Ten on CBS, and I'm sick. But it's not even that. Texas and Oklahoma's moving to the conference next year,
It's
so
all gonna be different.
it's all gonna be different in every sport. Like so. We're in a wild time right now.
Yeah, let us know what you think Kentucky's going to do with their head coach situation. Let us know if you think something's about to happen. I got a weird feeling. They've been right before, but they've been wrong before. I got a weird gut feeling that we're going to get some article, some Shohei Ohtani interpreter gambling level article coming out over the summer. That's a gut feeling for me. But let's go and close out the show, man. We're pretty much at time. Thank you guys for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you like the show, let us know. If you like the new format, tell us. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment. Say, love the new format. Predictions, whatever you want to do. Feed the algorithm gods. I don't know why it works, but it does. If you want updates, follow us at TDS and Pod on Twitter. That's the best place to get updates. We have a Facebook page we rarely use anymore. I don't think I've used it in 2.5 months now at this point. It's there. But all your updates are going to come through Twitter. I'm not calling it X. If you like our show and you want to rate 5 stars, you'll get a shout out at the end of the show if we can get the name. Or if you're one of the shows that we like, collab with, want to work with, and enjoy listening to as well, you get a shout out as well. Those shows are Jim over at Fan of the Van. Go check out the show him and I do called Steel and Teal. He also does a show with E-Man over at Average Joe Sports called Cigar and Sports. Go check that one out. Go check out Brent and Dave of the 1420 podcast. Brent and Dave put on a phenomenal show. I was actually listening to him this morning. Love those guys. Go check out the guys, the BSN Sports Podcast. Aaron over at Brugliana Sports. Go check out Darian over at Chill Takes. Him and I have been interacting a little bit on Twitter. I want to get you on the show again, man. I will reach out as soon as I have some free time. I've been drowning lately. Go check out Level the Playing Field with Dave and John. Go check out the guys at the We Like Sports Podcast. Average Joe Sports, like I said earlier. If you're into wrestling, I know it was WrestleMania weekend this past weekend. We'll do another episode about that another time. Go check out John over Wrestling Fan Insight. I'm a casual fan. He still puts out great content that even I understand. Always, always, always go check out Sports After Dark. Follow him on YouTube. Hop in the spaces. Love working with those guys. Love going back and forth with y'all. It's great. Heavy, I disagree with you 100%. Waffle House is goated. It is not mid. You take that back right now.
You take it
I love you, man. But I no. Waffle House is goated. You're in Vegas, you want to do something Vegas related, go listen to Visit Vegas Places. I'll tell you everything you need to know. Go check out Nate Say the Wager. Gamble responsibly, please. Go check out the You Bet Smart podcast as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, we'll see you next time.
Peace.